Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to the Degen Dads podcast. In this episode, we have a lot of news coming straight out of the Degen Press. We have D-God Season 3, Rec League Mint, with his, which is the Basie kind of IP in the game, and much, much more. So welcome to the podcast. And we have myself, Kyle Wilson, as one of the co-hosts, and co-host Chris Coffey as my fellow co-host partner over there. Chris, what's going on, man? How are you today on this beautiful D-Gen day?
Hey, man, I am great. Just trying to get the week started nice, trying to be productive, feeling pretty good. As you can see, rocking some Cool Cat merch today. I got the plushes, got the hat. I got plush for each of my girls. I always like to try to get NFT stuff, you know, when I can. So I'm excited. This came in actually really fast, and I think the hat's cool.
Looks pretty dope, man. I see it. It's cool. I got like a collection of like Web3 hats around the house. So it's always nice to get some Web3 merch and kind of rock it. I hope it kind of just becomes a predominant like part of my wardrobe. And I feel like it slowly is. But yeah, so anyways, let's dive into it, man. First up, we have the D-Gods, you know, for a lot of you guys out there that haven't heard or haven't seen it.
We got more breaking news first to talk about before the NFT news.
So let me get through this real quick. It's just D-Gods. They're supposed to be, you know, changing their art collection to be kind of a luxury. They're aiming to be the number one NFT project in the entire space. And it's kind of been a long journey for them. We're going to get into all of that. But first, Chris has some breaking news.
Yeah, man. The plane lady, the crazy plane lady, self-proclaimed today, post on X after what, like almost a year going by, the lady that was like, hey, there's something on the back of the plane, and starts cursing out the attendants and the security officers, finally comes out today and is like, with an apology video, basically saying, I'm sorry for basically cursing in front of everybody's kids. I'm sorry for freaking out. We all have our bad days. And then pointed it back to like mental health, internet cyberbullying, how things went too far. But she also did include that, you know, she thought some of the memes were funny and that she has a strong support system with her friends and family. What's your thoughts on that, Kyle?
Yeah, man. I don't know what I think about it, to be honest. I mean, she apologized. It is what it is. I don't know what she's dealing with personally, mental health issues, you know, if she didn't, you know, maybe medical issues. There could have been a numerous amount of things here. So I don't want to like put in, you know, any kind of judgment on this lady. She apologized. She did it what she had to do. But I did see some pretty funny stuff as well. I've been seeing it on the feed. So I'm glad she acknowledged the funny part, the humor of it. But I get at the same time, it is like for her, a lot of, you know, she's having to struggle, go through it, deal with the entire weight of the entire internet. And I've been there, man, but not the entire weight of the internet. And so I kind of feel for her a little bit on that. And I hope she gets to, you know, 100% good health and good standing and all that stuff, and gets that all that taken care of, because that's what matters most. So I don't know. Have any thoughts about it, but I did see somebody make a cartoon, which is really funny. She was like looking to the back of the airplane, and it was like a bunch of aliens and creatures, and they're all kind of like staring at her like, what's, you know, what's not normal about this? So I don't know. Lots of funny stuff out there, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind
of
mad that she dropped a video and like didn't even like hint to what she felt like she saw. Like, sure, she doesn't have to tell us, but like, we've been curious for a year, and you're going to come out on video and just be like, look, I'm sorry I acted that way. But like, at least kind of tell us, you know, like, you know, this, I felt like I saw an alien, or even like, I was really drunk, or I was on, I mean, she doesn't have to sit there and say she's on drugs or drunk or whatever, but like, come on, man, like, give us a little something. And yeah, the apology video, I don't feel like she really needed to apologize. Like, I hesitate to say it's not a big deal, but it's not a big deal.
Did you see she had a YouTube link in her bio on Twitter? yeah, her actual Twitter had a YouTube, and she's already got like 1,000. I guess she posted on YouTube and had like over 1,000 subs, or almost 2,000 subs. I'm sure more now. But I was like, yo, is this like a marketing move? Because I heard she was in marketing. So yeah, there's a lot to kind of take in here. It was interesting. She didn't really give us any details, but maybe in due time, perhaps she will. I don't know.
People also thought it was fake. They're like, oh, this is AI generated, or that's clearly not the same girl. I definitely think it is. But I mean, at the same time, like, it would be kind of easy to be like, to kind of look like that girl and want to pivot that into monetization and into like a name for yourself. If she never comes out with it, you know, and you kind of look like her and can like, you know, do that, like, I could see somebody pivoting that. Like, it wouldn't absolutely shock me if it wasn't her, but I do think it's her.
Yeah, to me it looked different because like you saw her from her front angle, and it's hard to say because like the side angle from the original video, it's hard to tell like what she actually looks like. And it's kind of funny because in this new video, she's like all like dressed up to you know, got the makeup going. She's got like full out, man. She got ready for that video.
I liked how she in her apology video, she was like, yeah, we all have our bad days. Mine just got like caught on camera. Like, while like I see the overlying point, like, no, we do not all get on a public plane and freak out and act like there's something in the back of the plane to scare everyone on the plane so the plane stops for it. No, we don't all have that day, ma'am. Like,
that's a really, really, really bad day.
That's a you problem. That's not an everybody problem, you know?
Yeah, that's like a really bad day. That's like one in a million bad day. But yeah, I agree with you, man. It's wild. So, and that's like a lot of plane incidents have been happening, you know, society in general is just kind of like off the rocker a little bit. So it's kind of sad to see that, honestly, just in general on airplanes. It's like, people, you got to calm down. You got to take your, whatever you're on, medication, make sure you take it, do your due diligence. I don't know, like, just chill out, people, like, say a prayer before you go on the plane. I don't know, whatever helps you get through the process. But like, please, like, don't scare everybody else and jack with, like, everybody else is going through the same stuff too. You know, like, somebody could be going through a family death. Somebody could be going through, you know, whatever, like, they could be sick and you're over here, you know, like, putting everybody on blast and so selfishly that you're not thinking about anybody else. I mean, granted, like, not to say that, like, you know, she could have been experiencing health issues or whatever too. So not to like bash her, but just, I'm talking about the other incidents out there,
yeah, I mean,
that have kind of gone on.
At the end of the day, like, obviously, like, I support mental health and I would stand against cyberbullying. But she has her own like fan base and her own like people that don't like her. And that's just part.
Dude, she should. NFT fixes this, bro.
Well, that's just part of like doing something that's like newsworthy or making content or what. You're going to have haters. You're going to have people that support you. And like, unfortunately, the day we live in, if you do something extreme, you kind of set yourself up for either being supported or people not liking you. So like, of course, like, I don't endorse anybody like cyberbullying her, but like, you also like gave the opportunity to like put yourself in that platform. Like, you can't stop a plane and expect that not to hit the media.
Speaking of setting yourself up, D-Gods.
We'll talk about that.
We got to talk about this, man. It's a lot. We got to get to our Web3 stuff.
We're going to have to like show some like throughout this podcast if we can, man. Like, it's wild.
Nah. All right. So I wish I had some bookmark and save some stuff. I think I have Frank's. I thought I had Frank's pulled up here. But it was a downgrade is what they called it. Where essentially they took like their existing.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
R and made it like more simple. And a lot of people like were anticipating a lot, like they were anticipating like this crazy art change. It's like over the top, like, oh my gosh, what are we going to get? And it like ended up just being more simple art. And so like it took their existing art and just kind of like used less colors. And people were like, yo, wait, what a minute. Like what? that's what took like months and months and months and like a ton of money and moving all these different chains and everything's going on. And this was the big season 3 announcement, was just, you just took out like a wrinkle in my guy's face and made it look like more simple. Like, and so a lot of people freaked out at first, but I think as they started rolling out like some of this, like, explanation why, because like I guess it takes more brain power to process more colors in a picture, and so that they like had to explain themselves and all that, and some people it started growing on a couple of people. But Chris, what's your thoughts on this whole thing?
Yeah, so while I'm saying this, I sent you a DM on Twitter so you can see what I'm about to talk about. Also, if you wanted to put that up in the recording, you can. If not, no big deal, I'll try to explain it. First off, I like Frank, I like D-Gods, I like Utes, and I don't think this is like worth like fudding the project over, but I do think it's funny. I mean, some of these are pretty bad. This guy named Bear posted his. It says my mid turned into a floor, and like his mid, which was the season 2 D God, before it got the upgrade or downgrade, had like a nice big gold chain. The scars kind of looked cool. The sweatshirt was like torn up and stuff. And I get why they wanted to like, you know, kind of tone it down just a bit, because I mean, his shirt said like hell on it and it's got blood on it. So like, you know, maybe that's not best for reaching a mass audience, but like the new version is the chains on the outside of the hoodie, bro. Like, you know, who wears a chain on the outside of their hoodie? Like literally he's got a hoodie on and then he's got his chain around his hoodie. It's like a very tiny golden chain, which I'll get into that in a little bit. And the rest of it looks okay. I mean, the hoodie is almost like too plain or whatever. By the way, I really like plain stuff. Like, I'm more of like a simplistic style. But the next one I want to talk about is this guy named Jared. I sent Kyle both of these, which I want to know your thoughts on them afterwards. Jared's like is wearing these like really cool glasses.
Yes, that, I'm actually sharing it. If you can pull it up, I'm actually sharing it right
these,
now.
These really cool, it's probably not going to be shared though on the actual, the way that we record this. So they won't right. see this. He's wearing these like really cool, like trippy glasses. He like, his skin's like cracked. He's wearing his whatever. This like very like illuminescent chain, all that, you know, whatever. The upgrade makes him look like a total Chad, bro. Dude's got just a plain red headband, this like VR looking headset on him, even though it is gold. I guess that's cool, but it's just, I don't know, man. It's something. What do you think of it?
Yeah, man, I don't like, it's crazy. Like, they definitely made it way more simple. Like Chris was saying, there's like cuts and like all over, like it looked kind of like grungy slash like really detailed. And then they just took all the detail, all the like the scarring and like all that stuff, like out of their like characters, and just made it like super simple. Some of the changes look good. I do agree with some of these like characters that they do look better. You know, in more mainstream appeal and more like luxury looking, like more simple. So I like some of them, but yeah, in this case, some of them were kind of weird. It was like, you know, you took a big old like fat chain and turned it into like this dainty, like little bitty chain. And it was like, yo, whoa. Like I spent like, you know, 6 or 8 ETH or whatever on this character. And then you're going to like downgrade my big chain into a small, tiny itty bitty chain. Yeah. Like, yo, like, you know, now, like, because before, you know, maybe perhaps somebody with a lot of money would have bought that big chain NFT because it represented them well. Now they're kind of like, ah, I don't know about that NFT now. And so that's what he means by like my mid turned into a floor.
And I will say, you don't have to do this. Like, you can choose to keep the former version. but I think it's like incentivized to do it. Like they're thinking about maybe even like doing rewards for people who do it early, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's actually the Utes migration. So the Utes, that's another side announcement. The Utes, which is their secondary collection, is migrating from Polygon to ETH, which is its own set of controversial issues. But yeah, you don't have to upgrade or downgrade. So I don't think some people should trip out about it. Now, what I don't know is if you've already chose to, if like you weren't able to see it beforehand, if you're just stuck with it. I honestly don't know that. So
I think Jared's, I like both, honestly. Like, I like both. Like, it's like this guy with a mullet, and he's got like these giant, like Oakley looking glasses on, like these giant, like visor glasses. And before, I'm looking at the before and after, and I actually like both, like in that case, because he's got the overalls. Yeah. They're like, dude, this guy looks like he's like American AF. He like, he's about to go in the street waving the flag. Like, he looks like that, like, I don't know. There's a guy that does a comedy skit. He's really funny, but he reminds me of that. Yeah. But that one's a pretty good before and after in turn. Like, I would want both of those. So yeah, it's hard to say. Like, I'm kind of 50-50 on some of them. I'm like, yeah, that was pretty bad. And on others, I'm like, ah, that's not too bad at all. I think the, like, what was it? Frank's, like, Frank had like a like an Adam's apple removed. It was like, yo, this is like not really much of a change.
Some of
at
them
all.
Look exactly the same, bro. And then some
yeah, it was like the shading around and the Adam's apple is gone. And it was like that simple. It was like, yo, that's what took like months. So, but I get it. They had to go individual and probably and redo each one.
This did get FUDded probably more than it deserved. You know, there's one thing about just like saying you don't like it or joking about it, but people are like, you know, obviously trying to tear down the project for it. I don't agree with that. And then there was also controversy over like their female D goddesses. But it's just hard to be like, I've read from like multiple people that are artists like doing representing like females in art is just hard to like please everybody. I thought they looked good, but I don't know. I guess some people didn't. Also, Frank tried to respond to this. He dropped a 14-minute video of him just talking to the camera on his iPhone. And basically just try to talk about their vision, who they are, what they're about, and all that stuff. I watched like a couple of minutes of it. I mean, it was okay. It kind of seemed unneeded for me, but again, I like Frank, but I don't, you know, this, I think the main thing was there's a lot of hype behind this and it just wasn't a big delivery and he's aware of that.
Yeah. So he, I didn't think the video was too bad. He's got like 530K views.
Yeah,
on
that was
it.
Nuts, dude. For him just to be talking in front of his phone camera and like generating 500,000 views as an NFT project founder, that's pretty legit, bro. That's bullish for the project.
Yeah. So the pros and cons for me in this video was the pro. I'll go over the pros first. He had a lot of valid points. Like, if nobody was talking about D gods, he wouldn't have like kind of accomplished that mission. But since even if it's negative, people are still talking about D gods. We're talking about D gods. So in that regard, he has captured a lot of attention and has done right to the community to a degree there. Cause like any press is like good press as the kind of like rule of thumb goes. And that's kind of like what Trevor was saying about McFarlane is like, even if the floor goes, like it's like below retail or there's any action in the secondary market, is proving that people are still just active in the app in general. And any activity is good activity. And that's kind of what Frank was saying in the video. And I do agree with that. I think that like, since if nobody was talking about it, nobody cared, then.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
That would be more negative than positive. So I think they got a dub here, just the amount of attention, the views, like all of that. Where I'm kind of like, the con of it is, I guess, well, I'll let you kind of go into some pros and cons. What was your thoughts on the video? And let me kind of regather my cons on the video.
Sure. Like I said, I only watched the first few minutes. One of the cons, it makes sense, but
you're supposed to go with the pros so I can rebuttal with the con.
I mean, the only pro that I saw in the first few minutes is that it got 500,000, it got 500,000 views, and Frank is very good with attention, and he seems genuine, and like, I get what he's saying. Like, I feel like that is, other than like maybe his like on Bitcoin, like his ordinals mint, like I feel like it is a lot of pressure, like when your holders decide that they want the floor to be $10,000. You know, and now you're kind of like, well, dang, now I got to make this worth, you know, that pressure of, like, I guess now I got to make this worth $10,000. And, but yeah, I'm just going to go cons too. I'll agree with you. So one of the cons is like, basically, even though I support Frank, like he's very clear about like, we're learning as we go, and that's super transparent. So I guess that could be a pro as well. But at the same time, it's like, that's a lot of money involved to have your founder say like, I'm just learning as we go. You know, that's one of the things about like the founder that I support the most, who I work for as well, Trevor at Ninja Alerts and with the Bitcoin Frontier Fund, is like, he's established, like he's been doing this for over a decade, successful entrepreneur, launched startups, sold startups. So like, I trust his vision, extremely intelligent, VC investor. So like, I feel more comfortable like with trusting his vision, you know. But when I have a founder that's kind of younger than me, I mean, age isn't everything, at all. But when I have a founder that's younger saying, well, I'm just kind of learning as I go, it's kind of like, well, I hope you do have more plans and resources than just like hype cycles. Again, I like Frank. I want that to like be known while I'm saying this. Two, I agree with this, but not a good rebuttal to the hype you built is like, well, if you buy a Utes or a D-Gods, then you'll get engagement, you know, and then that engagement should like basically be a good starting point for like our delivery on utility. Like, yes, but like, I don't know. Again, that's kind of like an obvious thing. Like you buy an NFT that like is, that has a lot of holders, a lot of community, then, you know, you'll get engaged from that community. I don't know. That's just, to me, like, that kind of fell into your lap. So I don't know if that's a good, like, bull case for, like, the vision. I don't know. I feel like everything I'm saying is negative. I don't want to be that negative towards Frank, but it was. I mean, to me, this whole, like, D-God Season 3, it should have just, like, people didn't like it. That sucks. Let's move on. But it's kind of, like, becoming like more of, like, a long, drawn-out deal.
Yeah, a lot of people are reacting to it. But yeah, again, like that goes back to one of the pros, I think, there. But back to your point on the cons, I do agree with that. Like, in terms of like hype, that can't be your sales pitch. Like, we're hype, we're getting attention. Like, if you buy in, bro, like it feels like an MLM like kind of pitch. Like you buy in, you're gonna get followers. Like, come on, you know, it's like, we can't really, that's not a sell point, man. That's like, sure, that can happen, but you can't really promise that. You can't really sell that as like one of your core features. Cause what happens tomorrow if, you know, some crazy FUD happens and your project like goes like below, you know, or whatever. Like, I'm not saying that would happen. Like, again, like I'm with you. I like Frank. He understands collectibles really well. I've heard him talk a lot about collecting, the dynamics. Like, he's really smart. His video, I thought, was not too bad for like looking like it wasn't edited. He didn't say, you know, like, so he had professional, semi-professional delivery there. So like, you know, and I know it's tough for you in his shoes. Like, he's young. There's a lot of pressure there. And I get it, man. That's a lot of pressure to live up to and all the hype. But I wanted to see a little bit more, like hear a little bit more about like Points Parlor, the vision, the long-term vision. This is what we're like, we're pivoting into luxury. Like, these are the things we're thinking about long-term. And I wanted to hear more of that vision instead of like responding to so much the con or like the art. It's like, man, just cast more vision there, you know, look at the long-term here. And this is why I do like, you know, I know like your thoughts on Neo Tokyo and things like that in terms of the founder, but the thing I do like about it is like years ago, when Neo Tokyo launched, it, like, you know, the founders came out, like Becker, and he was saying, this is, look, the price is like 60 ETH. We flipped Basie, but this isn't going to be sustainable. Like, he's like, if, as a matter of fact, if you need to take profits, probably you should take them. Like, he's like, this is a, not a hype project. This is like, if anything, this is just a club and an Illuminati where, you know, I'm not going to be out there just like hyping and shilling the bags. Like, this isn't how it works. And so I have a lot of respect for Alex Becker in that sense, because years ago he laid that expectation. And here we are now in the bear market of NFTs. And a lot of these projects are kind of struggling. And Frank even said himself, you know, like, hey, you're going to have to, like, you know, give us a little bit of space here and stop putting so much pressure on us. And we've seen that time and time again with all these other projects, Doodles, now D-Gods. And again, I just think Neo Tokyo has tremendous room to grow and legs to grow, because that expectation was already set years ago. And the founders have done a good job. And I think they're just getting warmed up. And as soon as the Web3 bull market, the gaming bull market comes, it's going to be kind of game on. And a lot of these projects are going to be like, you know, it's going to be good. So anyways, that's my thoughts on it. Like, again, Frank's young. I hope he succeeds. Hope he takes D-Gods to the moon and back and all that good stuff. And I see a lot of their holders. I'm friends with a lot of their holders and the Utes. And I actually love the Utes more. I almost love the Utes more than the D-Gods, cool, you know, to be honest. Yeah, I wish I had a Ute, because I think they're cool.
We didn't get that Ute list. That was a...
Bro, I know they faded us. Like, we're going to hold them to that. So, Frank, if you're watching, we're going to hold you to that, man. Sweep the floor. Give me and Chris a Ute, and we'll be pro D-God and pro Ute. Dude, I'm already pro.
Speaking of founders, we didn't even put this on our show notes, but Kid Called Beast, man.
Ooh, right. Yeah. So one of the founders, do you want to tell that story a little bit, or you want me to tell it? And then I'll ask you your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give a backstory on Kid Called Beast real quick. Raspi's already, which is the founder, already has had his fair share of controversy. I don't really know how I feel about that. Basically, just went off on people randomly, and whatever. Strong community in the Kid Called Beast, but kind of just, I don't know. It's just like time and time again, there's just questionable things. Like, even the mint was questionable. I think around mint time, like, there was like a possibility of, or at least people believing that it was maybe like an orchestrated hack, evolving around some of the founders. I don't really believe that, but it's just interesting looping back to what just happened. One of the co-founders, Kron, was it, basically got fell victim to a hack, and asked for donations from the community. He allegedly received $50,000 in donations.
I heard it was $90,000, bro. Really?
He allegedly received $90,000 in donations, and then like less than a couple of days afterwards, I guess, was like, I'm basically stepping down from a Kid Called Beast, and I'm going to go pursue other things. Like, I think specifically like in AI and like in a different field.
Yeah, man, it's rough for the Kid Called Beast, you know, project holders. I know a lot of people in the VV community bought like a truckload of them. And that was one, like, I was interested in getting into like way below one ETH. It went up, and I was like, yo, I was kind of like telling people, like, I know I saw Biscuit. She's like, should I sell? And I was like, yeah, because it went up to like 1.6 ETH.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is a massive gainer. But, you know, aside from that, like that taking profits, I do feel for the Kid Called Beast community. Like, it's really strong, like you said. Again, it's one of those ones where it's like not a good look for the Web3 space. But at the same time, there was a lot of red flags there, so it was more like you kind of had to do your due diligence and kind of decide as an adult like what you want to do with that information. You know, like you said in the initial part, allegedly. They had, you know, reserved a lot of their own mint back to their own wallets and like dispersed it to like some of their own wallets or something.
Yeah.
They use like that one app to like tumble their try to hide their transactions, but somebody found it. And a lot of people defended them like, oh, like, you know, it's their decision to hold back some for their family and friends and things like that. But then hindsight, like this happened. Essentially that was like a rug pull in terms of one of the co-founders, like, you know, allegedly faking a hack. Again, I don't know if this is completely true, so you do your own research. Like, this is all just alleged. But he obviously did leave because the actual project, you know, tweeted about it and said, like, look, our vision, our mission is the same. Like, we're going to set out and do our holders right, blah, blah, blah. So he really did leave. But yeah, allegedly. And so it's interesting, man. It's sad. I think it like communities like that, it really disheartens them and, you know, keeps them from looking at really good projects out there. You know, but again, the red flags are there. You just have to be making mature enough decisions personally to decide, like, you know, is this a red flag? Is it not? Are they just lying about the sending to friends and family? Like, so those are all the things that you should be asking yourself, not for, you know, just to say, not to save your bags, but just for your own due diligence and your own well-being out there, not financial advice.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel for the community, and like, I hope it does turn around, and I think it could. You know, like, apparently Raspi was like a successful like entrepreneur before, made a lot of money in the gold industry and investing, doesn't need this apparently, and has a lot of good connections. So like, I really do hope it turns around. I have like been tempted to buy on a couple of occasions. I really like a lot of the community. I know a lot of the community, and it's a cool looking project, like a lot of it around it. There has just been a few red flags due to like Raspi and Kron specifically that like have just kind of like, I don't know what's true and what's not at the end of the day. So like, I don't want to accuse him of doing these things, but like, there are things that like, you know, I just like him snapping on people or constantly talking about how everybody's against him or whatever. Like, I get that, but like, you put yourself in those shoes by coming out and starting a project, you know. Like, I have people like do stuff to me all the time because like, I'm a content creator. Like, they'll like go out of their way to like leave a rude comment or like dissect a 10-second clip of what I said in an hour-long podcast or whatever. Like, that's part of being a content creator. Like, yeah, it sucks, but like, I don't sit here and whine about it on social media all day. Like, I might like highlight a comment and laugh at it, and it might affect me sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't, but that's what I chose. So it's not like a always me, like, why does this happen to me, like, I hate that, you know, blah blah blah. Like, no, like, you chose this. Like, I'm sorry, it sucks. I hate that people are so negative. I hate that there's trolls on the internet. Like, I hate that like people can't just be happy and like try to like focus on the good things that we're building. But people are people, and like, if you put yourself in a position to where like they're going to come after you, and that's just one of those things. Like, people that are building and developing, just like, be confident in what you're doing, connect to people who are also confident, and screw the trolls, you know. Like, I use them as engagement now, like, whatever. Like, I don't even block most of them, so, you know, like, it is what it is. Like, you have to develop, and you know this, Kyle, you've been a content creator for a long time, like, you have to develop this like hardened like skin of like, people are gonna say like rude things towards you, and that just needs to be like, if anything, either it just needs to be white noise or it needs to be a driver to like, you know, or like use them. I feel like the best thing to do right now, especially on the X platform, is like just use them as engagement, bro. Like, I get ad revenue off of people like viewing my like posts now. So like, whatever. I literally made a post the other day. I was like, should I block all 50 people that should I unblock all 50 people that I have blocked now? Because anytime they come, want to leave a rude comment, they're literally paying me now. So like, you know, like, hey, come pay my bills.
Did you unblock them?
I didn't. I'm too sensitive, bro.
I blocked a troll, and then I unblocked him because I was like, wait a minute.
Well, I'll lot of people that I have
my old trolls still blocked. Yeah, though.
You know, I'm actually pretty like, I don't block very loosely. So like, a lot of people that I've blocked, like, have either like death threatened me, have like threatened my family, or have like really crossed the line. And there might be like just a few in there that have like just caught me on a bad day to where I'm just like, all right, I don't want to hear, today is not the day, and I might have like blocked them. So, but like, a lot of my lists, like, if you've like threatened me, I don't really want you, I don't want to have anything to do with you, you know. So I've also like had people on that list who are like, that threatened me, and like, I've like it's a whole another can of worms. So
all right, well, we got a lot of topics here. We have Discord trading bots, there's Coca-Cola, Unchained Summer, yeah, that was a big one.
About that.
With Coinbase. Yeah, Coinbase, they just launched their layer 2, which is really using the Optimism tech stack. But they have launched their own branded L2, layer 2, on the Ethereum network, and highly scalable. They're looking to onboard developers, users, all kinds of stuff, including brands that they have signed, like Coca-Cola, for example, to name just a few. There's a lot, actually, a lot of brands. They launched. It was pretty cool. They even had one of their NFTs shut down. An artist launched on there, and his art was like flagged on like every social media platform for a second. And then it came, DK, who's super notorious for what's these like called animated loops, that they just, it looks like a fluid loop, so you can't really tell the beginning of the end of the loop. And he's really notable for that. And it's like cool, like Mario looking animations. And he had one where one character was like jumping on the Washington or the White House building and like planting an Ethereum and a Bitcoin flag. And that's what got his like the art shut down on. So it was so stupid. I'm like, it's literally just a little cute. It's art. Yeah. It's literally motion art. And I just think that's ridiculous. Anyway,
I spent too much money on that. Rant,
on Chain Summer, it launched. Chris, what's your thoughts about this?
Yeah, I think it's really cool, man. It's really cheap, you know, because it's a layer two, so it's not like Ethereum fees. It's easier to bridge now, to bridge your ETH over to Base, so you can mint some of this stuff. I minted too many of those because like it's really just for the art, you know. It wasn't really like, it shouldn't have been financial incentive, but I did the rule of three like normal. I was like, I want to keep one, I want to flip one, and I want to hold one to decide what to do with later. My problem was I forgot that there was one Ethereum flag and one BTC flag. So I actually ended up having to get six. So I spent like 0.07 ETH probably on that. And I don't even know what it's at now. It's probably break even or a little bit lower. But the newest one is the Coca-Cola. I'm not participating in that. I don't know, man. One, I'm just not a fan of Coca-Cola. I dumped all my stock a long time ago. Company, as a business owner, the company made me really mad, like in Web2 sphere. So I told them that I wouldn't support them in any way. So I don't. And I don't know. They've just kind of nothing but extracted from Web3. I actually made a post about this the other day. So like, I'm okay if you're like a collectible platform and then you have things drop. And
want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It's no utility. Like VV to me is safe because VV is a collectible platform. If they add utility, that's a bonus. But at the end of the day, their biggest promise is these are premium 3D collectibles. Cool. But when you're a Web2 brand and you've already launched one product, which is kind of a one of one on Ethereum a couple years ago, which is Coca-Cola, and then they dropped snow globes on VV, and now they're doing art on Base. What point does it not just kind of seem like a cash grab, you know? And again, like, I don't want people to take that and be like, oh, Chris called Vivi a cash grab. It's like, no, like, you have opportunities here. Like, you have Vivi for the collectibles. You already have your one of one, you know, whatever. And so now's your chance to maybe incorporate your huge business into, like, a Web3 model to where, like, you could do, like, an exclusive Coca-Cola drop or do, like, something, anything. You're not an art company. I don't care if you work with an artist, but instead what they want to do is extract more value. So they're going to like, oh, we're going to call this art, drop like six different variations of this art, and you can buy it. Like, I don't know. There's a certain point for me. It's just like this Web2 company is obviously just trying everything they can do to extract money out of our space. And so I'm not going to mint it because of that.
Yeah, to me, I just don't want to mint it because I was like, I'm not a big Coca-Cola is cool for their, like, I know they have a collectible community, so perhaps they're appealing to them. But it's not for me, but I do like what Starbucks has done and their loyalty or kind of rewards program, how they have that set up. So one of the few brands that have actually kind of done it right and kind of merging Web2 with Web3 and rewarding their community. And they're based on Polygon and another layer too. So you know, I'm not like a huge Starbucks guy, but I do appreciate Starbucks for rolling out that program and kind of a model.
You better not be a Starbucks guy.
And I think that the Amazon will probably follow a similar suit. They already are with Prime Gaming. You know, if you have Prime subscription, you get these gaming NFTs for free. What they've done with Mojo or Mojo Melee or whatever it's called in Blanco's Block Party. They've rolled out free NFTs. I think those were also based on Polygon, as a matter of fact. So yeah, it's just good to see like some of these platforms doing it kind of right to some regard. And I think they should even improve on that model to go the next level, you know, merch, meetup, whatever, like, you know, go the next step. And I think Nike is even following in that kind of path as well. And I think we'll see more from that. Yeah, currently it's like their NFTs are really expensive, like an artifact. And I hope they do more affordable things. But the Dot Swoosh, you know, a lot of that stuff's pretty affordable. And I hope they do a little bit more on that end, too. So.
To me, the thing that makes most sense for these big brands coming into Web3, if it's, you know, according to the laws that we have in place for like what's a security and what's not, would be to have, and this is what Starbucks alluded to, would be to have a point system that every time you buy one of their products, you get points. Those points be on chain, and then you can then either use those points to buy other things or you can sell them to other people. Because that would make the most sense to me, because you've always already had like point systems in place so that you don't really need, you know, blockchain for that. But if you do want to sell it in a fast transaction or just like on the chain, that would make the most sense to me. I don't know if there's even like a Web2 fashion that you could do that for, or you could also sell it for these other cryptocurrencies, you know? So that would make sense to me, or they can incorporate it. Like, I mean, Starbucks is doing a great job at it. I don't know, literally anything, man, make it a higher mint, make it a higher barrier to entry and give you an exclusive Coca-Cola label, you know, for collectors, you know. Now that would require shipping and everything, but I mean, look who we're talking about. We're talking about Coca-Cola. Like there's a lot of other things. Heck, dude, I minted an Outback NFT like a year and a half ago, and I got a free Bloomin' Onion with a Dr. Pepper. You know, like that wasn't too hard for Outback to do. They essentially like through the NFT sent me a link, a coupon code, like to a link, you know, to redeem it. So literally anything. But yeah, I digress. If you're a collectible platform, I'm okay with you not having utility. But if you're releasing on different blockchains, different platforms, and all of it just seems to extract value, there comes to a point where it's like, okay, are you going to actually contribute anything? Or are you just going to constantly just try to do whatever you can to take money while you can?
Yeah, this technology allows for obviously rewards programs. So you think like more companies would take advantage of that. Like it's kind of like duh. But what is not duh is SBF is sent to prison.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I wanted to highlight that. So that was like all the news, all the rage lately. So yeah, SBF, if you haven't know, yeah, he's like, I guess in jail for tampering. I didn't even really read into it. I was like, oh, okay. Like, I guess that happened. We can move on to the next topic though, if you want
to. Yeah,
because we still got a lot to talk about. We got FriendTech, AI.
Yeah, I have some major alpha.
Daddy Elon Musk.
Yeah, I have some major alpha that I'm about to share, but I wanted to just update. So on the SBF thing, he is being housed at a Brooklyn jail, notorious for poor conditions. A little bit of update on that, which is like a repeat deja vu of last year at this time. I feel like he got sent to like a bad, like a worse prison, like wherever he was located at. I don't know, man. I feel like he goes to jail apparently like every few months. So who knows?
And then, yeah, somehow yeah, he gets like bailed out.
But yeah, so some alpha for you. We usually have alpha segments of this podcast. I feel like we've been holding out the last like two just because we've gotten such good conversations. Discord bots are on the rage right now, man. Unibot was the first one that really took off. It went like, 100x, bro, because these Discord bots also have tokens attached to them. One recent one that I've actually been using, shout out to Non-Refungible Radio with Crypto Crier and FUD and all of them, Red Sox guy. It's called Nunbot. Now, I'm not like, this is not financial advice. I'm not saying go buy this token, but I've been using their product, and their product is good, dude. Like all you have to do is go to a Discord server that already has this set up. And you can literally like type like slash create wallet. I don't remember the exact command. And it creates you a DeFi trading wallet that, boom, that's it. Literally, that's it. So what I did was I went ahead and imported private key to a MetaMask. So boom, now I have a new MetaMask wallet without having to do anything. And from then on out, you can do real-time trading from Discord, like with optimized gas as soon as coins go, and follow what everybody else is doing. So like yesterday I bought another token, which was another Discord bot. I literally just typed in the token address, copy and pasted the address, and the bot, you know, was like, how much would you like to buy? I typed in the amount, bought it directly from Discord. And now at any given point, I type a command, Discord will give me a command to say, do you want to sell 25% of this, 50% of this, 100% of this, or do you want to set a custom amount? I could then sell that token. So talk about an easy onboarding for your Web2 friends, like for your friends that are like maybe gamers or familiar with Discord and familiar commands. You could just be like, hey, man, like send me $100 if you want to do some trading. Like this will create you a wallet. Literally just look at what I'm doing. And if something looks cool or what, like, I'm talking about like friends, not like managing finances for other people, you know, like, but at the end of the day, like how easy it would be for them to get involved and in that trading and stuff. So that the bot I'm talking about is None. I do have like a couple of, I think I have like 29 tokens. They do have a revenue share. I think you have to own 50 tokens. Basically every,
how much is it per token right now? Like roughly?
Roughly, probably like $8 to $10. I bought the first time too high, and then the second time I DCA'd. I'm trying to get to 50 so I can get that revenue share. So the revenue share is like all the fee. They haven't even triggered their fees yet. Their fees are going to be very minute, 0.3% if you don't own a certain amount of the token. Or 0.6% if you don't own a certain amount of the token, 0.3% if you do own a certain amount. And then those fees will be distributed amongst their holders. So like add a friend. So there's already been fees distributed for the revenue share. And one of my friends has already gotten like 0.2 ETH from just holding the tokens. Now, he probably has a lot. I know he has a lot. But it's still pretty cool. And I mean, obviously, like, if the price were to like zoom, I would probably sell it and still use the bot. But the whole reason I bought is because of like I use the product. And the product is actually very good. You see a lot of these meme coins, there's not really a product behind it. It's just like a hype cycle. Yeah. But I'm not even saying this to shill None. I'm saying...
I get the coin, the technology, but like what does this really help you do though, other than create a wallet? You know, is it like copy trading, trade? Like what is it doing to like actually make you money, you know, the product?
Yeah, I think copy trading would be a big part of it because like you literally see what people are like doing constantly. And if you want to go buy some of that token that they just bought, there is no like, you don't have to go to Uniswap or Dex Tools or whatever, find the token address, copy and paste that token address, set your slippage, and then like go through that whole like buying process. It's literally like, oh, Kyle just bought Unicorn.
But how does it, do you have to program it to like follow me or like what is that? Like, what's a process? Walk us through that.
Yeah, so if you're in the same Discord, it's just all out in the open. So, like, there is no, like, following to my knowledge. It's just, like, if you just happen to be in the same Discord, which a Discord that has it set up is going to have people using it because, like, that's kind of, like, the aim for the Discord. All the transactions are just right there, you know? And so, like, copy trading, again, is just, it's so fast and seamless. And it also has...
Is it automated? Does it help you automate things or like what, you know what I mean? I'm trying to find like the aha moment here.
Yeah, I mean, it's automated in the sense of like, I literally click a button to like copy trade you instead of like having to go like to the site and stuff. It also sends you tokens. It sends you update. Okay, here's another thing. It sends you updates. So like, let's say you just bought like None token. I can get it to send me updates and in the Discord server, it'll say, hey, your token went up 25%. Do you want to sell it? Hey, the token went down 25%. So kind of like stop losses and stuff, but all within Discord. I mean, you can trade these meme coins or whatever token you want inside a Discord, like without leaving Discord. Like to me, that's a pretty like cool thing. And there are like optimizations for it. And like you can curate it to how you want it. And it does. It also sends you new tokens. I don't even know how it finds out these tokens so fast, but it will send you like the like newest tokens that are on there. And you can check your wallet and everything from Discord. So like for me, this is like the first time that like MetaMask, I'll say MetaMask, like literally any wallet, but your DeFi wallet can be like managed from Discord like quickly, you know, at all any given time.
Yeah.
The downside to it is that if somebody hacks your Discord, then they can also, you know, get your wallet.
Yeah, there's been there's been Telegram bots that have done this for years. It's kind of why I was kind of asking, like, there's, you know, the like bots, like I was able to program a trading bot and that one specifically was okay. It just went mainly off of like technical analysis, like tools or like, I guess signal or not signals, but like, yeah, signals, but like at the same time, it just used like the basic indicators. And then there was Telegram bots that did exactly kind of what you're talking about with the Discord bot. But I don't think there was necessary. Then I've been seeing a lot of trading bots pop up again, like in the news, just YouTubers covering it more often now. With the rise of bots again, and I think maybe they've gotten a little bit more advanced. Like you were saying, now you can like create wallets or do maybe additional things with them. So that could be something I might be trying out. I don't know. I want more value prop, you know, personally. I would love to see like, you know, some automation there. And if I am copy trading, like maybe like somebody way better than me at trading, I might definitely do that. But there's that risk reward ratio that you have to be aware of for folks in the audience. But so none of this is financial advice.
I just got pretty excited because I haven't checked the price since I bought a couple days ago, and I put $200-something in at like $8 a token, and it's at 13 right now. So Ayo. I'm up. I mean, I don't know the exact percentage, but I'm up pretty good. I had no idea. When you asked me, I was like, see, I bought the top the first time at like $11-something a token. I was like, well, that sucks, because as soon as I bought it, crashed down to like 8. And I was like, oh, whatever, I'll buy again. So I bought again at like 8-something, and now it's at 13.
Ayo. Speaking of tech, we have AI and gaming, Unreal Engine 5 with City Build, which is like essentially, you know, if you're familiar with Unreal Engine, it's insane graphics, and you can basically go in and create these entire cities. Like one artist made this entire New York City from scratch in Unreal Engine, with the help of obviously AI, which is really accelerated compute is essentially what it is, but still very impressive what was done there. And I tweeted about it and it went viral. Chris did a short on that as well. So yeah, that's AI's getting pretty out of control.
Yeah, you can make entire cities like in the matter of like minutes. It's crazy. That video that you shared, like they used one artist to like recreate New York City, and like not only did it recreate New York City in a very realistic manner, it's also a playable city. Like you can actually like drop a game in it. That's probably not the correct term, but you know what I mean. Like it showed like somebody driving a car around the city. AI is just going to level up gaming to like something that like we really haven't seen yet. And I know you've been saying this for a while. It's just crazy. Like reality becomes more and more real once you kind of see it happening, and you're like, man, I knew this was probably going to happen, but like seeing it, like you could really just like put a better visual on like how crazy this is going to get.
Yeah, and like the traffic and even people, you can actually simulate that as well with AI. So it's like really end to end. A lot of people confuse AI with like intelligence and like ChatGPT, but AI actually is much more than that. It's accelerated compute as well. And like, what does that mean, Kyle? Well, if you just look at a video game like Call of Duty, like it helps accelerate your actual graphics in game, because typically what happens with your computer is it doesn't have enough like rendering or graphic, you know, compute power to like fluidly show your guy like moving across the, you know, if you're like aiming and moving across, like artificial intelligence has to basically fill in those gaps in the images, because like your computer, your screen and computer just doesn't move that quickly. So that's why you need a graphics card in your computer to accelerate that compute and to actually literally predict the frames, and it like will render those frames out in a split second, and it looks like it's real life, you moving around. And that's how kind of accelerated
compute works. That's crazy. So it optimizes your own computer as well, like not just that.
Yeah. And even further than that, NVIDIA is planning on using, coming out with a GPU that's literally made for AI, and it already has AI tensor cores built into the GPU for what I was just explaining, like in games and stuff like that. And for other stuff you want to use it for, you know, even there's encoding and like all kinds of stuff like that. But, yeah, like they're going even further than that and making a more powerful GPU for, you know, actually running AI models at your home computer. That way it'll help alleviate like some of their servers. And so that way you can do testing as well. Like it's a multifaceted approach, and really brings AI to home consumers. And for nerds like me that like want to geek out and have a personal AI model at home, like a Jarvis, for example, the possibilities are kind of getting endless with this. And NVIDIA is really one of the few companies out there that has like the right, you know, company, the right processes, manufacturing, all of that to like make this happen. Even their servers, they just announced, like, it's like they announced the largest GPU in the world, which will is literally the backbone of like all these AI models you're seeing, OpenAI, ChatGPT. It powers all those, Oracle, the Amazon, like they are, NVIDIA is a powerhouse. And that's why I asked on a poll, NVIDIA might pass Apple one day. If Apple doesn't like catch up to this technology, AI literally will be the backbone of everything we do in society. And I said it before, like a year or two ago, NVIDIA is looking to be the Apple of the next generation. Like, so Apple, while they're making hardware, something's got to power that hardware, like even the graphics, you know, in their phones. And that's why Apple's trying to push for their own like custom silicon chips, for like, they're trying to get ahead of this. And, so it's kind of going to be like an arms race. Who's going to be the like clear leader in the future. But Apple, of course, isn't going to go down quietly. They could just make their own systems, and they already are starting to build their own AI model. And so they're not going to just like sit down and let this happen.
You're making me want to buy NVIDIA stock, but it's up 130% this year.
Dude, I've been posting that up on Paul Barron's Substack for like a year and a half. Yeah. And I kept telling people, I was like, and I covered that like weekly on the podcast. I was like, NVIDIA is like, they're about to drop this AI, and, you know, the macro experts out there, quote unquote macro guys, were like, oh, NVIDIA is like overinflated, it's overheated. And this was like when the stock was like 196 wow. bucks, and it obviously went up to like 400 yes. and above yes, now.
Yeah, still above 400.
And I kept saying in the podcast, I was like, these macro guys, in my opinion, are wrong. AI is literally going to power everything. NVIDIA is the only company right now, like that is the only company that can do this. AMD could do it, but it's going to take years for them to catch up to NVIDIA.
I was just
level.
About to ask, Kyle, like, give me and the viewers some alpha right now. If you had to like put your money on a runner up, who's underrated right now, who's it going to be?
There's a lot of the tech stocks that have ran up. The one I'm kind of like looking at on the side is kind of IBM. And the reason why I say IBM is because they're one of the few companies that has a quantum computer. While NVIDIA has like the biggest GPU, NVIDIA has the biggest computer, like quantum computer in the world, like by magnitude of scale. And the next generation of compute is going to be from quantum compute. And they're already offering cloud compute, cloud quantum compute services. And we're already seeing that with AI, how people are, you know, basically allowing for AI to be, you know, services and things like that. NVIDIA is doing it, and OpenAI is doing it to a degree with Bing. So it's like, you know, a give and take there. But yeah, like in my opinion, quantum compute could be the next big one. Because like if you combine quantum compute with AI models, that's super intelligence. Like, forget yeah. about it. Like that, I think that's why OpenAI kept saying, like they posted in their blog, like super intelligence could be here within the decade. It could already technically be possible, but they haven't put any safeguards in place, and they know that. For at least when you combine quantum compute with, you know, AI models, what does that look like?
Okay, so there is a safeguard.
That's like infinity.
There is a safeguard in place just in case that happens, but I think we should leave that in the in our new Substack.
I don't think so. Not for quantum compute. Quantum compute is unlimited.
It's debatable, so, and I think we should drop the debate down in our newsletter.
So just
no,
just
I don't
want to
explain
give you
it.
Context,
I don't want to explain it. I want it to be in the newsletter.
No, just for all right, we can explain it later, but just for give viewers a basis of how quantum compute works. It's not a normal computer. A normal computer processes bits. Bytes, I mean, and it's like a matrices of just zeros and ones. And a quantum computer can calculate like, so like a computer is just like a linear. So it's like zeros and ones and calculations. A quantum computer is you're filling in the additional layer. So it's like a 3D matrix of calculation, and it's like unlimited at scale. So like you, it's like a grid. So like what was linear would just lines like a 2D piece of paper. Like a quantum computer basically turns a paper into a cube, and that's how it can it's unlimited. Like it's literally limitless. And no, like they're not, I don't think they're using it with AI right now for obvious reasons. So,
well, the only way to stop AI from becoming sentient and taking over the world will be left in our newsletter that we're going to drop. So,
all right. That's the alpha.
And the link.
Alpha Media Labs.
The freaking alpha was IBM stock. The alpha was Discord bot, like none. There's another Discord bot coming up. That's the alpha, man. And by the way, I wanted, before we moved on from the IBM, I did want to say, it's just for the viewers, it's $142 right now. It's actually down 3% in the last 5 years. So you can actually get in at a cheaper price than 5 years ago. I own none of this stock. It's for this year, it is up 6.37%. So, if what Kyle is saying is it comes to fruition, I could see opportunity here. So as per Kyle's, not financial advice, go open up some call options, on this.
No, absolutely not.
Please don't do that.
So to put it, put it in a context, like, you know, back in 2012, it was like 184. And so we're entering a new age of computer with AI, quantum compute in 2023, and it's $40 under 2012 levels. So I don't know. I think it's one of those tech stocks that hasn't really caught on yet because like everybody's focused on NVIDIA, AMD, Microsoft, like the obvious players in AI. But they're not like really paying attention to the next like generation of computer, which you need computers to like, you know, power the, you know, you need quantum compute. Like if you really want to scale your processes up and your programs and, you know, I think literally entire nations will use quantum compute, especially this technology at scale and what's possible, like kind of like the Flash. I think this might relate a little bit with viewers is like the Flash, the show where the AI in the show could predict like things in the future. And I think we'll get to that point where you can run advanced, not only simulations, because we can already kind of do that with NVIDIA simulations world. They call it like Earth 2.0, but like Randy advanced simulation. Well, no. So that's a different one. That's Web 3. Yeah. NVIDIA, what I'm talking about with NVIDIA, they can build, they're working on Earth 2, which is just a digital twin of the Earth. And simulations of like the weather, but I mean like they can do simulations like that already, but I mean like in 50 years, how does this little thing affect society at scale and what will that do? And with quantum compute, it's a little going to be more possible to predict those a lot more precisely than just like regular AI. Like with quantum compute, you might be able to solve like actual diseases and like actual things like that, because it actually calculates things and not just like, it's not just a simulation. So that's why I say all that.
Gotcha, man. Well, I guess I need to start loading up on some IBM before our podcast catches traction.
All right, you got any X monetization though? I see that in the notes. What's the alpha, man, bro? We got 2 minutes. We got 1 minute to run that before we
end. I got one more thing I want to say besides that too. But yeah, I'm monetized on X. Let's go, baby. I've been talking about this for a long time. They did require 15 million impressions over the course of 3 months. And I've been saying since the beginning, this is not going to be sustainable because 15 million impressions is impossible for 99% of people. So
I said they lowered, bro. I was right, man.
Lowered it like last week, like last Thursday, I think it was, you know, not that I remember anything, but it was around like 8:30 PM my time. And, they lowered it to 5 million impressions in the matter of 3 months. So they divided that by three. Your boy had 5.1 million impressions. So like I just passed over that threshold needed. And even 5 million is a lot. I'm not going to sit here and act like everybody's going to be able to everybody can hit 5 million. It's a lot more doable, but it's really for people who are like very much on the X platform. So even that's kind of high, and I think they're eventually going to lower that. I'm officially monetized. I haven't had my first month yet, so I don't know how much I'm going to make. We're not talking about big bucks here. We're talking about pennies, like, because the only thing that counts is your posts, not your replies. And then on top of that, I think it's only verified users viewing your posts. Now, I'm going to be completely honest with you, and this is how most people that are monetized are monetized. Most of my impressions came from comments. So, like, that doesn't count. Now, what can count is when you comment on something, it gets a lot of traction, and then people come back to your profile. If people come back to your profile and look at what your last post, then that counts. So that's why you want to not only leave comments, but you want it to be, like, very, like, good comments. You don't want to be like a regurgitated meme that people laugh at but don't really care about your profile. You want it to be like a thought-provoking comment. Yeah,
bro, you're in those spaces too, bro. So you know people are clicking on that profile.
Yeah,
while you're in those NFT Now spaces.
Yeah, very possible. And there's another spaces I'm about to be involved with and that I want to talk about before we conclude, which is going to be soon. But yeah, I am monetized on X.
I'm going to run my own 24-hour, 48-hour spaces, and it's just going to be, that's it. I'm not going to even talk. And I'll just have people clicking on
my
head.
That's what Greg does. Greg doesn't talk. The memer, like Greg12586, blah, 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 blah. He runs spaces a lot, gets a ton of traction, and he doesn't talk in the spaces. He just gives, like, emotes. He'll whisper every once in a while.
He's probably getting banked.
Dude, Greg's great.
He's probably getting banked.
I mean, Elon's his reply guy. So there's, like, less than 10 people that Elon replies to. If you're one of those 10 people, you're set, bro. Like, because then everybody's going to reply to you.
Well, Greg's, like, to put it into perspective or like context, is Greg is like one of the most notorious memesters on Twitter. He's like a meme artist.
Yeah, he is. All right. So last thing I want to talk.
He's funny stuff, man. He's got a lot of funny content.
Last thing I want to say and kind of shill, I guess, is that like Ordinals are not dead. A lot of people are like, oh, Ordinals is a fad. They're down 98%. One of the companies I work for, Bitcoin Frontier Fund, just before we launched this podcast today, announced our Ordinals Accelerator program. We're investing $100,000 into Ordinals startups. So like there is still money in the Ordinals space. And I'm really excited about the program and the information that can be found on Bitcoin Frontier Fund. But I also say that on this podcast because I wanted to say, like, I'm still bullish on Ordinals. Like, I don't believe it was a fad. I believe it was overly hyped. So people came, they either got confused or didn't make money, and then they left. And it hasn't really had a foundation to build on. But this accelerator program and a lot of other things that are happening in the Ordinal space is the foundation needed for it to become something. And I still think that this is just, Ordinals are, like, incredibly overlooked. So I'm still bullish. Are you still bullish on Ordinals, Kyle, or you just kind of made the content just for, like, you know, people to watch?
So I still have the orange background on Twitter, so I'm still excited about the future of not only Ordinals but actually Bitcoin in general. I've seen, you know, Trevor post about like how his thesis is everything's going to be on like Bitcoin layers and Ethereum layers, and I kind of agree with him, man, because that's kind of how it's already shaping out. We've already seen it play out on Ethereum, but my guess is that, you know, as the excitement builds on Bitcoin, that there could be a lot of cases, or layers and things like that, that's going to happen on Bitcoin. Like you'll see more devs and more excitement around Bitcoin in general, as obviously, you know, this continues to the next halving and the Bitcoin ETF. So I think when I look at the macro of it, I see that. I kind of agree with Trevor on that, man. I think it's the most secure blockchain. It's like the most decentralized. Like a lot of people accredit that to Ethereum, but it's really Bitcoin. Oh, yeah. Like Bitcoin is not only the OG, but it's like one of the safest. It is the safest like blockchain. And I see that as a benefit if you're going to build something on it. Now, you know, if you're a Bitcoin like purist, you might not like that. It has its use cases, and it's Bitcoin. It increases Bitcoin's velocity, and the possibilities of what are possible on Bitcoin. And, they'll have to figure out ways to scale Bitcoin accordingly, with all that, whether that's mining, I don't know. Like I'm not a Bitcoin developer. That's going to be up to them to decide, you know, how to scale Bitcoin in certain ways, or maybe it is through layers and layer twos and threes. Yeah, I've always been excited about Bitcoin. There was a time where I was kind of bearish on it because, like, man, nothing's happening over here. All the excitement's like on Ethereum and all these other altcoins. But as time goes on, like I'm excited about it. And I wish I didn't get rugged a long time ago with my Bitcoin because I'd still be even more bullish on Bitcoin. But yeah, with Ordinals, the art, like I think it's serves its purpose as well, because it's like obviously you can't censor it, you know, there's technically like the miners or whatever can like try to block it or whatever, but that's extremely difficult, and other people could spin up nodes to like stop that from happening and just like you know, run their own nodes. So there's like protections that could be put in place if that was going to be the case. But I'm excited in general. Recursive ordinals, like, you know, all the database of code on there, like, it's really exciting. We've talked about it before. I just think things have like slowed down over there on ordinals in terms of like the next like hype cycle or like what's the exciting things happening over there. But in terms of like ordinals minting, they're still minting out. They're still like, you know, past 21 million. So there's still a lot of like action, quote unquote, going on over there. But I don't think it's going to like go away. I think it's going to persist and the development's going to persist. And I think coming into this next bull run, people are going to start paying a little bit more attention.
Agreed. Bullish on Bitcoin.
If you like that, subscribe and like the video. So with that being said, yeah, me and Chris, again, we'll try to get this podcast up on Spotify and all that stuff. It's been a very slow process because it's just me and Chris, and we have to like manually do everything. So we're working on the website still. It's technically like you can actually go to it. It's unless you can actually see the mock-up. The links might not be right. Excuse me. What is it? DeGenDads.com.
Yeah, but they should also check out our newsletter. That's going to be in the description. And we could also...
What is that? What's it called? Alpha Media Alpha, Labs.xyz.
Yeah, Alpha Media Labs.xyz. We're going to be writing soon.
Maybe.
And we can include what I was talking about earlier about that. That I don't want to give too much away, but the way to not allow AI to take over everything. It's a very interesting way that I just learned the other day. Going to be dropping that in the newsletter. We can also reference, of course, the website and all that fun stuff. So go subscribe to that right now and have an amazing day.
Yep. Peace.